You know, finally a vampire movie with some real biting humor, right?
Oh, wow.
What? What did I say?
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay, good. Anyway, we are reviewing What We Do in the Shadows, which they pretty much could have called Flight of the Conchords the movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the cast of Flight of the Conchords.
Definitely that.
Playing a very similar sense of humor, just a very different setting.
Yeah, yeah.
But we are the Unusual Suspects. I'm Chris.
Michael.
Diva.
And this is one of the, I would say, must see, even if you have to drive to a neighboring city who has an art cinema films coming out this week.
Totally. Absolutely.
This is such a prize of a comedy. And the weirdest thing about this movie, they improvised almost all of it.
I believe
like,
that.
Like, almost all of these scenes, they were like, here's what we need to establish, go, and just did it. And it does not feel that
way.
It
really
it's wonderful. The timing's great, the chemistry's great, but these guys work together. I mean, these guys are pros. They have experience.
Yeah.
And, it's such a treat. This movie's such a treat. I mean, it's just fabulous.
You have four vampires who are living together, and they're all...
They're flatting together.
And they're all kind of... pathetic. Jermaine Clement is definitely leading this cast here. He is Vladislav, who is like basically the Vlad Tepes type.
The Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah, he's 862 years old.
The Dracula guy.
Then you have like the person he created, Viago, who's played by Taika Waititi? Am I saying his name
Waititi. Looks like.
He got a lot of teasing when he was in high school. He is 317 years old, and he's kind of a fop.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the
Louis from Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he is.
He's more like the obnoxious like roommate who like everyone get your chores done, and isn't he that
We're
one?
We're not obnoxious.
Well, you know what I mean. Like he's that one. Like he plays this like very dandy. Sure. He's a dandy.
He is totally a dandy.
Yeah.
And then there's the new guy.
Well, there's one more, right? There's Deacon.
Deacon.
Oh, Deacon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Deacon is...
He's the rock star.
He's the young one.
He's the young one. He's the guy...
rock star.
Yeah, he's the Lestat, sort of.
Yeah.
You know? He wants to... But he's also... He's not cool like Lestat. He just thinks he is. And then there's the ancient Nosferatu.
The Nosferatu.
Yeah, who you don't see a lot of. He's usually hiding out in the basement and sleeping a lot.
Amidst spinal columns and such.
Yeah. And, this is like they're filming a movie about themselves. It's kind of funny that they established that they can't see each other in mirrors, but for some reason it's never addressed why cameras pick them up just fine.
There's no mirrors in a camera. That's part of it.
But it's a one-way thing, right? Like it...
I don't know. I don't. I
would think it would be the same process.
Has there been an established rule where vampires can't be video?
I'm pretty sure they can't be photographed.
Who wrote that?
I don't think that's necessarily...
See, that's the thing, is you're grandfathering
I'm assuming.
I
know it's shown up in things where they couldn't.
Sure.
But I don't know who started that.
Right.
I think it's one of those, like, well, if they can't reflect in the mirror, probably their image can't be captured.
The original lore is that it's shame. Like, because they the original lore of vampires is that they can't look in the mirror. They can't stand to see their own reflection. It's not actually, like, a physical thing. It comes from the whole religious background of vampires.
Okay. Well, then, so maybe they're just not going to watch this movie, right?
Right.
The plot.
Well, my question, would be...
I love this. I'm so animated about this one.
My thought experiment here is if they were to watch the movie, would they not see themselves, however we still see them?
Yes, because remember, they actually play with the computers.
Right.
Because the whole plot is that they accidentally, or Peter, the ancient 8,000-year-old
Nosferatu
vampire,
type.
Nosferatu, he accidentally converts one of their meals.
Right.
And this guy brings his human friend Stu, which is hilarious, the whole interaction with Stu.
Stu is great.
And now they start getting, like, modernized. So you start to see these completely inept vampires from different generations of history learn to use like a smartphone and the internet, and it's so fun. I mean, and that's really where you start really having fun with these guys, is seeing how they're learning to integrate themselves into society.
It's not even typical fish out of water humor either.
No.
They're also disdainful of this, but in their own way. You know, the fop guy's like playing at being really interested in it all, but he can't figure it out.
Right.
And ultimately he goes, well, we probably don't need to do that. And Jermaine Clement's character is like, why do I have to deal with this? You know? It's the really funny reactions between all these guys. And I think one of the funniest aspects was just this absurd thing that, you know, this new vampire brings his friend Stu, and nobody can stand the new vampire, and they all love Stu, even though Stu is the most milquetoast, banal character, totally. very much on purpose. He's like, there's nothing to describe about Stu. You just have to believe the vampires when they say, man, don't you love Stu?
Right.
I know, and that they play on that, and the humor is on so many different levels in this movie. I mean, not just the writing, but... you are watching this movie and you're watching, like, for example, Vladimir trying to figure out how to watch internet porn. And it's like you're watching your grandpa kind of learn how to do stuff. And you see that same attitude of dragging their feet on the technology, but they have to adapt. Right. Like, they can't live the way they've been living all these years. And just the tension of the Deacon bad boy that we talked about. He's not the young one anymore, and so there's, like, this conflict with the new guy, and it's just, I don't know. There's so much to it. It's so much fun.
One of my favorite things in here is the Beast, which is Vladislav has this, like nemesis that he keeps talking about, the Beast. Right. And it's, like, all like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck is this? And
then it's they keep showing these images.
Yeah, then it's someone who you, like, that you're like, okay, that's pretty fun. Like, it humanizes him in such a fun, hysterical way when you find out what the Beast actually is. There's a monster masquerade ball with, like, zombies and witches and all this stuff that is, like, constantly laugh out loud funny during this sequence. I cannot emphasize enough how much I think this is charming, incredibly well written and performed comedy.
Yeah, see, for me, one of the things that I loved was that they do this thing that I hadn't considered, but vampire films have been, no pun, you know, whatever this is.
You can pun as much as you want. You're safe here, Michael.
They've been done to death.
Yeah.
And and it's really funny to see a film take the different ideas of vampires from the different eras. You have the Vlad the Impaler type, and then the Nosferatu type, and you literally put them in a living situation together that goes, they were all in the same universe, you know, more or less. That the 8,000-year-old Nosferatu vampire is actually from the same universe as Lestat.
Right.
They just didn't happen to live together. But here they do. And you get to see
there's a generational shift between them. Like, literally centuries between them, but they're going through the same same issues.
And whenever we see vampires from fiction or in film, there's this inherent coolness to them.
Sure.
The thing is, this is those same vampires with that inherent coolness taken out. Mm-hmm. So they're just ordinary people who happen to be vampires and have to do the shit you gotta do. You're like, time to get up, morning's, daytime's over, man, I'm hungry, let's go out and find someone to eat.
Right.
You know?
And they're tentatively checking to make sure the sun has gone down with fear. Yeah. This is the scary part, right? Like, it's just so funny.
Yeah, I think that this has got more than enough charm. You know, you were saying how much you didn't like other things these guys had done. I'm really telling you to watch Flight of the Conchords, because if you like this, you will actually like that show.
See, I'm with you, Diva. I don't like Flight of the Conchords either.
Really? Have you seen the show and didn't like it?
I'm not a ton of it.
Okay.
But I have seen some of the show. And I don't hate the show.
Okay.
But it definitely took somebody telling me it was a horror movie to get me interested in this. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, it was about... I literally... This is my second viewing. I saw it at South by Southwest.
Okay.
And it stayed with me, and I literally have been just jumping up and down, waiting for it to come out. So, and the only reason I walked in to see it is because it was about vampires. Because it's one of my girly, you know, guilty pleasures. Yeah. And there I am, peeing my pants, laughing in the theater. I mean, such a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Not what I was expecting.
Diva confesses she wetted herself in a movie theater.
I was laughing so hard. I was just, you know, and you're in the moment with an audience. Best way to watch a comedy like that.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I watched this at home alone for the first time, and I still was holding my stomach laughing.
That's powerful. When a film makes you laugh alone, that's a powerful laugh.
Yeah, no question. And this is the New Zealand Film Commission working with Funny or Die. To put this together, the website, which has been much funnier than I would have given it credit for being when they first started.
Well, exactly. I was going to say, it's lasted in a way that if you had told me then that
this was going to work.
That the landlord was going to start producing movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet, and, you know, I mean, the site has lasted. It's still funny. Yeah. And this is a very, I mean, this is, it's funny and already dead. I guess. Sorry. I'm punning again.
I believe it's undead. Funny
that joke
undead?
Didn't, that joke had no teeth.
Oh,
wow.
What? Now I feel drained. I can keep going.
I'm going to let you go.
No, I'm not going
I'm trying to set him up, and you just keep doing it.
Yeah, so let's go to final thoughts. Start with Diva.
Oh, my goodness. I want to give it 10 just because I love it so much.
I mean, is there any reason you can think of not?
Yeah, the only reason is, gosh, I wish that they
too
had...
Too short.
They had got, yeah, I would have watched another 20 minutes. I would have liked to learn more about the werewolves.
Yeah, 85 minutes is extremely short for this.
Yes, thing. And just more budget. Mm-hmm. Honestly, otherwise, I mean, I'm going to give it 9 pairs of fangs out of 10. And those things, I think, were outside their control. So, I stole your fangs.
Okay. What about you, Michael?
I really enjoyed the movie. I think it's packed with stuff that makes it rewatchable. I think that there's tiny little aspects of the film that totally don't even need to be there. Things like the master-servant dynamic.
Yeah.
Just which are hilarious, but absolutely the kind of thing that doesn't need to be in the movie, and they still knock that kind of stuff out of the park. I think the whole werewolf dynamic's hilarious. I think...
always having werewolves and vampires never get along.
But,
so.
And for me, also, the scene with the werewolves when they're gonna change... And they're talking about, why didn't you wear your stretchy pants? That whole, I mean, just little tiny, tiny things that show attention to the actual subject, you know, the source material. Because it's easy to make a comedy about the horror genre while not being a part of the horror genre. And that's the kind of thing that gets you in trouble with horror fans, like me and like you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they really show... a lot of respect to the source material, which makes it funny because they get to make in-jokes. Kind of the way The Office resonated with anybody who'd ever had a cubicle job.
Mm.
This movie resonates with anybody who's ever seen a classic horror movie or anything that's come from that, a vampire movie, whatever.
And true. Loved it.
Sure.
There's so much love in it.
Absolutely. So all that said, I guess I'll give it... I'm going to go with 9. I'll go... I can't do pairs of fangs, though.
No, she's already taken that.
I'll do 9 out of 10 bat fights.
Nice. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I think we're all pretty much on the same page here. I think the only reason I cannot give this 10 out of 10 is because, yeah, it's just... It feels so short.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, my God, why isn't there more of this film? What is wrong with you not giving me more?
Yeah, totally.
But it really is like every... I promise you, it's everything we're saying that it is. I don't know how else to say it than that. There's just so many funny little set pieces here. It all has that sort of awkward squirminess to it at points, too, that really works well. And Jermaine Clement, I think this is the funniest thing he has ever done.
Sure.
He just kills in this movie, literally, in some cases. This is... I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 wooden stakes.
All right.
Because that's all I could think of. Yeah, I come up with the puns everywhere, but then put on the spot for the arbitrary rating. I'm like, I don't know.
Did you file those stakes yourselves?
It's made out of a table. Like, look at this.